Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
And good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thanks for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great today, thanks. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we'll talk about the concept of United Nations and the benefits that come with unity. We'll explain why it is important for each individual to get connected to the divine before we can make a global change. Listen as Swami discusses the process of apotheosis and why one must divide and conquer before we can unite and stand. Welcome to The Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join our spiritual, Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and initiate your process in development. So, Swami, I thought what I would first do is talk a little bit about the celebration today. Today is United Nations Day, celebrated every year on October 24th. And the United Nations is an international organization engaged in a diplomatic and peaceful communication between the countries of the world. This organization oversees issues like human rights, international security, political freedoms, and democracy with an end goal of achieving world peace. So I want to let people know that the United Nations actually came into formation. It was actually signed and ratified on October 24th, 1945. So with that, I wanted to also deliver a quote by Queen Elizabeth II that she addressed to the United Nations, and she says, "In tomorrow's world, we must all work together as hard as ever if we're truly to be United Nations." So when I first read that, I was thinking about the 100 monkey theory, where it does take, you know, the more people that we can reach out and have the same type of thought processes, then we can really do expect to make some change in the world.
Yeah, the 100 monkey theory works on the simple principle that thoughts are measured in phase and amplitude, but thoughts that are in phase exponentially increase the amplitude. So as you start to increase in your numbers, you start to impact what's called the collective consciousness. And whether we realize it or not, that's a huge influence on us, the collective consensus. And probably one of the biggest barriers to personal growth today is the collective consensus. And that's one of the things that we said in the opening, that we really have to be educated to understand that first we have to divide and conquer before we can unite and stand, that as individuals, we have to separate from our attachment to things that are visible and tangible or things that are invisible but tangible and join to this indivisible unified field and recognize, start to understand the changes, because the term was called transformation. And not all change is transformation. In fact, most of what we call change is just what I would call mechanical changes. A mechanical change is changing, taking wood and making furniture. But a transformation is a chemical change. And a chemical change requires this change to go deeper. And the term or the concept of transformation is exactly that. It's where the individual trans goes through form, the physical, and connects to this invisible, intangible source of sustenance that we'll call the divine or spirit. But that's where the real transformation takes place. And the whole thing of trying to get everybody on board collectively with this unity consciousness is exactly what we're trying to do here at Institute for Personal Development. But you've got to have the right information that you plug into the collective consensus in order to get the right return on the 100 monkey theory. And that's why there's so much. The term in yoga is called avidya ignorance. And what it basically is ignorance is mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. It's the biblical concept of a false god.
So it seems like almost that the United Nations could possibly symbolize like the macrocosm of what it is that we're supposed to do here as individuals on Earth, the microcosm, and that's for us to have this union with the divine, you know, where the United Nations kind of symbolizes to me like all of these countries coming together to unite to try to bring peace to the world. Well, we all know that that has to start with us individually first.
Yeah, it's hard to have world peace if you don't have inner tranquility. And that's probably one of the biggest problems is most of us are waiting for world peace to happen. And you really have to have inner peace before you can really experience this peace on earth. And again, in order to do that, that's where I always refer to the Chinese proverb, because I think it's just so, it's just such a perfect way of describing how to get the job done. You know, when there's light in the soul, there's beauty in the person. When there's beauty in the person, then there's harmony in the home. When there's harmony in the home, there's honor in the nation. And when there's honor in the nation, then there's peace in the world. But what we have to start to get on board with is, what does it look like when I have the light in my soul? Because it's a simple phrase, and it's, you know, the Christian concept, I think Jesus said it, said the exact same thing when he said, you must love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. And then ironically, the Buddha said the same exact same thing in a very different way. He said that we must desire nothing. And when we are attached to this invisible, intangible source of sustenance, that connection is what starts the progressive cycle. That's what starts this thing called apotheosis. That's what changes the individual into the divine. And when you have that connection, of course, humans in the adult state are virtuous by nature. It's a very different dynamic than the way our religions go about it by us trying to regulate our conduct. Trying to uphold the conduct without the internal connection is almost a Herculean task. But when you have the connection and you desire and you are addicted to the life force, then of course being virtuous isn't a challenge.
You know, as we're nearing the holiday season, you hear a lot about, you know, people wanting to celebrate peace on earth. I mean, it's stated in the Christmas cards and Christmas carols and so on and so forth. And it just seems to be like it's a seasonal concept that people remember. Oh, yeah, that's what I want, peace on earth, you know, and they don't realize that that's really something that we want to try to strive for every day. But then how do we go about to do that to bring that concept into our world every day when, you know, we have people out there, they have to work, they take care of children, they're busy just trying to live their lives, doing everything they can to get it all done in the course of a day. So how does one work on trying to get that light in their soul every day, not just at a certain time of the year?
Yeah, I think the whole thing is to recognize the simplicity of it and recognize just what drives us, what motivates us, what is it that gets me out of bed in the morning so I can go to work. And whether we realize it or not, it's mostly all patterning. It's all conditioning that we've trained our bodies to look for things. And so things cost money. And so now all of a sudden, if you think that you need things and you think that you need money, then the driving force for you to go to work is basically need. Now, when one really starts to change their thought patterns, they start to change the reward circuits in their brain that you don't need things as much as you need the void or the nothing, then everything changes because your body isn't searching for something to complete itself that isn't going to be able to complete itself. And that's what creates this restlessness, this agitation, this stress that we all actually, that's all we know, really, is fear-based motivation. And when you have the benefit of this internal connection, there's a calmness, there's a stillness, there's a confidence. And a lot of people are afraid that if they lose that fear, that they won't get out of bed. But what happens with this internal connection is that not only does it bring virtue to overcome fear, but it brings wisdom to overcome ignorance. It brings enthusiasm to overcome laziness. And it brings a sense of purpose to overcome selfishness. And all of this comes with the expansion of the conscious mind, the opening of the identity beyond the limits of the physical body.
So if we... So what you're saying is we have to change how we approach our reason for getting out of bed. We have to change our motivation. So instead of being motivated by money for the things that I want, I have to be motivated by putting God first in whatever it is that I do, whether it's getting in my car, driving to work, going to work, doing my work, coming home, taking care of children, whatever it might be. If I put God first, is that going to be a first step in making these kinds of changes?
Yeah, because then if you really cross-examine it, if you didn't have your connection to the divine, you would expire. You would be dead. It's your number one need. It's the single most important thing that we need to sustain our lives. But we don't have the programming where we're looking for that. We come in with program a pattern that we look for food, mother, or approval for validation. And that keeps us attached to a source of sustenance that is limiting, which then puts us on this cycle of death and rebirth, on this wheel that starts nowhere and it goes nowhere. So to answer your question, when you start changing how you think and you internalize the right symbol in your body to produce the feeling that you're okay, then your inner environment is in bedrock. Now you're not searching. So you're not controlled by fear. And with the benefit that comes with that is that you are now able to be more objective. You're able to be more intelligent. You have a sense of connectedness to this greater whole. So there's, like I said, there's a calmness, there's a confidence that comes with it. And your mind is opening. So your base of operations starts to change. Your perception of reality changes. And of course, now you can do things with a sense of joy, with a sense of love, that before you were doing out of a sense of need or obligation, out of fear. It's a whole different base of operation.
All right, we're going to hold that thought to pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods, a complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
You know, the intention of why we practice is to embody spirit, you know, to feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos. A cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the cosmic ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos. A practice in open form designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of it is a lot of things
together. Kriya Yoga mantra and meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Pray on prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back to the universe.
Private session. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303
or www.ipdtransform.com.
Namaste.
And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, so earlier you were talking about that we have to be better educated. So how can we, as initiates in Kriya Yoga, what can we do to educate those around us to finding a ways to become humans in adult state?
Well, one would be to become a Kriya Yoga teacher, teach what it is that we teach. And in order to do that, you would have to be able to do what it is that we're talking about. Because you really can't assume responsibility for educating people around you. And probably the best way to create some sort of window of interest would be to be an example, because you can't really impose this concept onto people. And there's a very important reason for that. It's like attracts like. Birds of a feather flock together. See, humans in the larvae state are threatened by humans in the adult state. And if what you're doing feels right, your chances are you're really not going anywhere. But if what it is that you are stepping into makes you uncomfortable, then you want to be able to be to at least educate yourself so you can be a educated consumer, so that you can recognize a metaphysical or a mystical system that is tried and true, and something that is just self-made, and something that will give you the result that you're looking for, because there's just so much garbage that's out there right now. And you go into these spiritual communities, and I think the biggest offenders are our religions, to be honest with you. I mean, there's an old expression, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And so being able to recognize, well, what is it that a true metaphysical system, what does it consist of? What would it look like if I was growing psychologically and spiritually in a positive direction? What does it look like when I have the light in my soul? Because we really don't have good leadership, like you said. And so you really have to become an independent scholar and educate yourself. One of the things that I used for my own personal education about this was I remember reading that in Egyptian times that there was a difference between what they called sons of men and sons of God. And this was way before the times of Jesus that they actually used these terms. And what's really interesting to understand, the more you experience and delve into these concepts, that our first birth is what makes us children of humans. It makes us human. But it is this second birth, this rebirthing of the body and the life force, that makes us children of God. And that there's a difference between sons of men and sons of God, that there is a difference between humans in the larvae state and humans in the adult state. And the more educated we are about what the differences are, then the easier it is for you to undertake the changes and assume the responsibility of your own development. And that's where I think what we teach here could be very helpful. So to answer your question, you know, come in, sign up, become a Kriya Yoga instructor. And in that, from that platform, then of course you would have the information that you could start to dispense to those who seek out this information.
So again, it really does start with us individually. Like we have to, like they're saying, you have to act local before you can act global. So we have to act within ourselves to make these changes before we can expect any changes to happen, you know, with the nucleus of the family, the neighborhood, the town you live in, the state and the country, and then so on and so forth. The change has to happen with us first. And then I think what you're saying is that we have to change how we think first before we can do anything, changing our thought patterns.
Yeah, that's basically where it starts. But the change also has to, you have to change the patterns in your body. Working with your physical body is essential, and any type of metaphysical or mystical system that isn't really using the body is something that I would be suspect of. Whereas if you go into certain yoga communities, it's all about the body. And that's why Kriya Yoga is a path of action, it's a path of knowledge, and it's a path of devotion. That you really need to have all of your ducks in order to make this union with the divine, in order to change the pattern of your physical body, because one of the things that we always say is our bodies have the power, And all you have to do is ask any addict, whatever it is that your addiction is, whatever it is that your body thinks it needs, becomes a Herculean task to overcome. And so what we learn here is that being spiritual is an abstaining. It's actually indulging. That you're not abstaining from all the things that your body is longing for. You actually become addicted to what you really do need. And that produces a completely different inner environment, an inner dynamic for an individual. But there's only one truth. There's only one God. There's only one yoga. There's only one number one need. And collectively, globally, I mean, if we could figure out what this word God really was intended to be represented by, that it's not some cosmic puppeteer in the distance monitoring our behavior, rewarding and punishing our conduct, that it's the force right now supporting my life. And when I become addicted to it and I feel connected to something that's pure, powerful, and sacred, then of course it changes who I am. That's true transformation.
I like what you always say, and that is to pray on prana, and pray as in P-R-E-Y as opposed to P-R-A-Y, praying on prana. And if we put that in the forefront of our minds, then from there we can start making some of these individual changes.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and if the change doesn't go deep enough, then of course you're substituting some intellectual devotional mirage for true spiritual reality. But working with your physical body, and that's where, say, for example, our Asana program is so unique. Mm-hmm. Actually doing physical exercises that attune the mind-body complex to this invisible, intangible source of sustenance. And it's little stuff like that that you find that gives you a better return on your effort, that you're not just doing physical exercises and adding Sanskrit terms to it in hopes of some sort of better return, that you are actually changing how you think, changing how you feel, changing how you perform, changing what it is that you desire.
All right, well, I guess it's about that time. We do have to start closing down our show today. So in closing, I'd like to invite you listeners out there to visit the website. You can follow me on Pinterest and Twitter and, of course, on Facebook. The website address is www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're there, you can post comments about this show or any ideas for future shows you would like us to consider. But do keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. Be sure to tune in next week. We will be celebrating Halloween, or All Hallows Eve, if you'd rather. Of course, we'll do that yoga style. So, Swami, any final thoughts or comments about today's show?
Well, I would like to invite people to join us to get the light in their soul and maybe start to help change the collective. That just like you said, I mean, it's very important that we act locally, but it's also important to think globally, and how the simple fact that if you start to grow psychologically and spiritually, how that will affect the collective and maybe make it easier for the next person to want to grow psychologically and spiritually, and so on and so on. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.